Good evening, church. Bruce said it for me this morning, but I want to say it with my own voice tonight. I really appreciate everyone's prayers over the last couple of weeks when I was not feeling well. Not feeling well is really an understatement. I won't go into the graphic details, but I will say this much. This is the first time I'd ever been to an urgent care center as an adult. And I've been an adult a very long time. So that I was that sick enough for that to happen, you can get an idea of how ill I was. But knowing that your prayers were with me was an encouragement. Also, I came to really appreciate the online service, which I hadn't had the opportunity to benefit from before. But I really, really appreciated that. And I realize now how great a blessing that is to those who join us on Sundays in that way. And I'm glad that we are able to provide that for them. As you might guess, I thought a lot about prayer over the couple of weeks when I was ill. I want to talk a little bit about a particular prayer this evening. If you've heard some of the other lessons that I've given over the last couple of years, you know that I am often fascinated with the little stories. You know, the stories about people that appear in Scripture only for a verse or two, but are there to teach us a powerful lesson in that very short space. And we're going to learn about one of those people this evening. If you want to open your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're going to be looking at two verses, verses 9 and 10 in that fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles. But before we get to that, I want us to realize that God favors people of prayer. There are more scriptures than I could count that focus our minds and our thoughts upon prayer, particularly in the New Testament. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, to pray without ceasing. And James, in James, the 5th chapter, in the 16th verse, says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I can tell you that works. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And the scripture is filled with examples of people whom God blessed because they prayed. This is a list, but it's not an exhaustive one. This is just a few examples of people who we see praying in Scripture and whom God blessed them as a result of the fact that they prayed to their Father in heaven. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we're going to meet a man named Jabez. And I'm glad that Marilyn's not here because I'm probably messing up that pronunciation. But that's the one I'm going to go with tonight. Everything we know about Jabez is in these two verses, except for the fact that the chapter starts out talking about the descendants of Judah. So we know in general that he was among that group. But here's all that we're told about this man. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. The name Jabez comes from a Hebrew word, yabetz, which literally means he causes sorrow. And his mother, according to Scripture, gave him that name because of the pain that she endured during his birth. That seems a little harsh to me. Some of you sisters who've given birth may think that's not harsh enough. But It seems that for one incident to have to carry that name with you for the rest of your life seems a little bit harsh, but there we are. His mother named him. He causes sorrow because of what she endured during the process of his birth. But what Scripture tells us about Jabez as a person is that he was more honorable than his brothers. And of course, that term brothers is used in Scripture not just to mean the children of his parents, but his tribe in general. Among the men of Judah, he was more honorable than the others. And that word that's translated honorable in the New King James literally means weight or substance. Jabez was a man of weight in the spiritual sense. He was a weighty individual, and that's what the writer is there getting across to us when it says he was more honorable. He was weightier than the other men of his tribe. And as we look at his prayer, we see why. Jabez, we're told, called on the God of Israel. He understood where the real power was. If we look at the things he prayed for, he had desires, he had ambitions, he had things he wanted. But he looked to God to fulfill those desires and ambitions, and not to himself. And the nature of his prayer demonstrates his spiritual weight, or honor, as the New King James translates that word. There are just five things that he prays for, and we're going to look at those five. And the first thing that he prays for is, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Jabez understood that genuine blessings come from God. He didn't just ask for God to bless him. He said, "Bless me indeed." That is, in truth, in reality, with real blessings. Because we all know that there are blessings that, you know, come and go. That wasn't what Jabez wanted. He wanted the real blessings that God could provide. In the New Testament, James, in James the first chapter in the 17th verse, tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift, that's what Jabez wanted, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The real gifts come from God and only from God. We give each other gifts, you know, birthdays, Christmas time, anniversaries, other occasions that we have to give gifts. But those gifts are always things that in most cases won't outlive the person who receives them. Only God can give gifts that continue into eternity. That's what it means to be blessed indeed. Is that kind of blessing that Jesus died on the cross to provide for us in him. In Philippians chapter 4 at verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If I give you a gift, I can only give you from what I have, which is not much. But God can give you everything you need. God can give you things you don't know you need. And he can supply needs that you don't realize you have, because he is the one with the riches in glory who provides those blessings by Christ Jesus. Jabez understood the source of true blessings, and he went to that source to ask for them. The second thing that Jabez asked for is, "Enlarge my territory." Now, he may have meant that literally. Maybe he was a landholder and he wanted more land. And certainly, we might want that too. But I think for us as people of God, there's a different way that we can look at that. What is my territory? Well, I want to suggest to us as Christians that our territory is the extent of our personal influence. It's the range of my service to God in Christ. It's the lives and the people that I have the opportunity to touch. And if I look at that request to enlarge my territory in that sense, it becomes something far more special than give me another acre or two. Because each of us can pray to God that our territory might be enlarged. Each of us can, and indeed should, pray to God that God will help us share the gospel with more people. That's how we enlarge our territory, by touching more people with the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. We can ask God to help us to see opportunities to be salt to the earth and light to the world, which Jesus tells us in his Sermon on the Mount we are called to be. And I say see opportunities because I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. It's not that I don't have opportunities, but I don't always see them. Sometimes I miss the opportunities to be salt to the earth and light to the world, because I just don't have my eyes open in the way that I should. But that's a good thing to ask God for. Help me, Lord, to see those opportunities, to be the influence in the world that you have called me to be as a disciple of Jesus. That's how I could enlarge my territory. We could pray that God put more people in our path that we could help. And again, sometimes those people are there and we just don't see them. Or as Brother Dick often says, and I appreciate when he mentions it, sometimes people have things we could help with, but we don't know that they need help because they don't tell us. And sometimes we need help that we could get from our brothers and sisters, but we don't ask. We can pray that God puts more people in front of us that we can help with the resources that we have. That's a way we can enlarge our territory. We can pray that God gives us more opportunities to do work in Christ's kingdom. And that one really hit me in the face when I thought about that, because when I moved to Las Vegas 4 years ago, I came here at the end of a stretch of time where I had been preaching the gospel for 35 years, most of that time full time. And when I came to Las Vegas, I thought, now somebody else can do that. And I can sit in the chair and I can just let Brother Bruce and the other men of the congregation do the preaching and teaching, because we have excellent men to do that. But I came pretty quickly to realize I couldn't do that. That I still have work to do. And tonight I'm enlarging my territory by using the gift that God has provided to me. The third thing that Jabez asks for, he asks God that your hand would be with me. Jabez understood that the battle belongs to the Lord. That if he was going to be successful, it was not going to be because of himself. It was because God made him prosper. Sometimes we lose sight of that. We lose sight of that, I think, particularly in the society in which we live, which preaches to us the message, it's all about you. You should be the captain of your own ship and the master of your own soul. You should be the one running your life and responsible for your own success. But that's not the message that God's word gives us. God's word teaches us that whatever success we have, it is because God is with us. And we need to remember that, and as Jabez did, to rely on it. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 31st verse, Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Those are words we quote all the time. Most of us know that verse by heart. But do we really take it to heart? Do we really understand that if God is with us, nothing can defeat us? And we should pray that God be with us, so that can happen. Again, another verse most of us can probably quote from memory. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How easy it is to take those two words in the middle out. I can do all things. But I can't. Except through Christ who strengthens me. Jabez understood that if he was going to accomplish the things he wanted to accomplish in this life, he needed the hand of God upon him. And he pleaded with God that that hand would be there. And we should take that lesson and apply it. The fourth thing that Jabez asks for is, keep me from evil. We live in a world where we are surrounded by evil. And sometimes I think we forget that Satan always wants to injure those who honor God. Think about Job. Oh, sure. Sure, God. He fears you and shuns evil, but you haven't let me mess with him yet. Why did he want to mess with Job? Because Job honored God. Bruce, I'm sure as a coach, you understand that principle. The opposing team always focuses on the strongest players. Those are the ones that are going to beat you. You're not worried about the guy who's sitting on the end of the bench, who only gets in maybe once or twice on special teams. You're not worried about that guy. You're worried about the star quarterback. You're worried about the 1,000-yard receiver. Those are the people you focus on, because those are the people who are going to destroy your chances to win. Satan's no different. Satan always wants to focus on the strongest players and destroy them. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, said to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. Why Peter? Because Peter was the one who was going to speak up. Peter was the one who was going to be, yes, Lord, I'm there for you. And we see how quickly Satan's influence worked. That same night, that strong, tough, determined Peter, I don't. I don't even know who he is. Satan focuses on the strongest players. And so when Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, at verse 13, he taught them to say, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And again, those aren't just words. That's a plea we need to make consistently. Because we live in the same world that Job lived in. We live in the same world that Peter lived in. And Satan didn't stop with Job and Peter. He still wants the strongest players out of the game. And the last thing that Jabez asks for, And that's a powerful one. That I may not cause pain. Here was a man who'd lived his whole life with a name that said, I cause pain. But that wasn't who he wanted to be. He didn't want to be a person who was a source of pain to others. He wanted to be a person whose life uplifted and encouraged and strengthened others, not that hurt them and brought them sorrow and broke them down. Paul in Romans, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse, says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then notice the very next thing Paul says. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's the person Jabez wanted to be. He wanted to be the person who does no harm. Even though his name said, I'm a person who causes harm, he wanted to be a person who didn't have that effect on others. And it's not by accident that when we look at those Ten Commandments, the first four are focused on our relationship with God, but the last six are focused on our relationships with other people. Because first we love God, but secondly we love our neighbor as ourselves. And there are verse after verse in Scripture that remind us of that those are the two things. Jesus himself said, the great and first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. That's who Jabez wanted to be. He was a man who honored God, and he was a man who wanted to do good by the people around him and not bring them pain. The last thing that passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 tells us is that God granted Jabez what he requested. Those five things he asked for, God gave him. And we don't have to know the rest of his biography to understand that that's true. All we need is that one sentence that said, God gave Jabez what he requested. And we can be confident that that is so. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Sometimes we just are afraid to ask. And sometimes we ask with our heads in the wrong place. But if we ask in the way that we should, we get the things that God wants us to have. John in 1 John the 5th chapter tells us in verse 14, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything, notice, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That doesn't mean God always does what we think he should. That doesn't always mean God gives us what we think we should get in the way we think we should get it. But when we ask according to God's will, he hears and he responds. He did that to Jabez. He will do that for us. Jabez is a great example of how God responds to honorable, to weighty people. A of prayer. And we should be that kind of people. And that means more than just people who say words. You know, sometimes people get the idea that prayer is just reading some words off a card. And that's a prayer. It's not about the words. It's about the intent behind the words. Jabez's prayer is not complicated. But he was sincere in each of those five things. And God gave him what he asked for. James, in James, the first chapter in the fifth verse, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But, and this is where I get tripped up sometimes, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. God has much to give. From the riches of his glory in heaven, the scripture tells us. But we have to believe sincerely that he will give if we ask. The wonderful thing about Jabez's prayer is it shows us that our prayers don't have to be eloquent. Our prayers don't have to be elaborate. They don't have to be verbally impressive. They don't even have to be long. Five things Jabez asked for. That God would bless him indeed. That God would enlarge his territory. That God's hand would be with him. That God would keep him from evil. And that he might not cause others pain. That is not a complicated prayer. That's a prayer you could pray in 30 seconds or less. But God heard that prayer. And he gave Jabez what he asked for. Because Jabez was a man of spiritual weight. And that's the kind of people that we should aspire to be. Maybe you're here tonight, and most, if not everyone who's here tonight, is already a baptized believer in Christ. If that's not your situation, there's water here. We can fix that. But maybe your need tonight is prayer. Maybe you need the effective prayer of honorable people who fear God, to help you deal with whatever it is going on in your life. We can't help if we don't know. We can't share the burden if we don't know what the burden is. But if you have a burden that you want to share so that men and women of faith can pray with and for you, knowing that God will hear and answer that prayer, then come make your needs known as we stand, sing the song that Sam's chosen for us.